Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Yud Beis. We are on Yud Aleph. We're starting at the very bottom of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, with the Gemara's discussion, the beginning of the discussion of Iber HaChodesh. We're talking about the additional month that's added into the year. As we already pointed out yesterday, there is a discrepancy between a lunar month and a solar month. A lunar month is obviously based on 12 lunar months. Each month is 29 and a half days, approximately. So 12 lunar months is going to get us to 354 days. A solar year, however, where the Earth makes a full revolution around the Sun, takes 365 days, and again, that's an approximation. So there's an 11-day discrepancy between a lunar year and a solar year. That 11 days, obviously, if after three short years, is going to be a 33-day discrepancy. And obviously, what's going to end up happening is that Pesach and Sukkot are going to be advanced into the Pesach will be advanced into the winter and Sukkot is going to be advanced into the summer if we just allow this discrepancy to happen. So therefore, what we need is what in English refers to as intercalation. And intercalation is just a fancy way of saying is that we have to align the solar year and the lunar year, and we do so by adding an extra month before the calendar was set and before set on the cycle of a 19-year cycle, where of those 19 years, seven of them are going to be in Iber Yar. So the what's been done in years gone by is that this was done as per needed decision. What we're going to be discussing in the course of the Gemara today, we're going to be finishing up yesterday's daf, starting today's daf, hopefully getting through a good amount of today's daf, is we're going to be going over the numerous factors that are taken into consideration in terms of when it is that we're going to be needing to add an additional month, where many, many details are going to be covering over the course of today's daf, when, where, what, a lot of the basic questions about this decision that is going to be made by Beis Din. So we start today with Tana Rabbanan. We're on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So first of all, this is an executive decision. You therefore need the chief executive officer of the Jewish people, the Nasi, the leader of the Jewish people, to be part of this decision making. The Gemara then tells the story. So one time Rabbi Gamliel had to go on a diplomatic trip. And he went to go visit the Shultan in Syria, Bishalavam. And now he was delayed in coming back. And now was the time to make the decision in terms of whether or not we're going to add another month to this year. But the only problem is, and it's a significant problem, we don't have the Nasi. What are we to do? The Ibrus Hashana Amnash Yirtseh. So what they did is that they added another month on a contingency basis, meaning with only the approval of the Nasi when he comes back, is it going to be validated? So, and this was a great plan, and it worked. And that when Rabbi Gamliel did in fact come back, so then they said that we were ma'abed the Shana, but only conditional upon your approval. He did give his approval, and it worked.
What time were they doing this? They must have been doing this.
Well, we're going to. Later in the Gemara, we're going to be more knowledgeable in terms of when this was done. So then, your question is good. In other words, after learning the Gemara later on, we can come back and we can revisit your question. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abrin Hashan Alim Ken Haisat Shrichem Emnei Hadurachim. So the Gemara over here now is going to give us a number of conditions in which we need to look at in terms of whether or not we're going to be Ma'abrin Hashanah. Now again, the need for Iber Hashanah is going to be based on the fact that right now Pesach is coming out and it's really early in the spring. In fact, it's not even springtime yet. It's the winter. Now, in terms of the solstices and the equinox, we're going to be talking about that later. In fact, that's more of tomorrow's daf. But right now, for our purposes, we're just looking at it from the pragmatic standpoint of it's cold. It's cold. It's wet. So Tanu Rabbanan Ein Ma'avin Hashan Alim Ken Haisat Shrichem Emnei Hadrachim. So let's say the roads are still not good, right? For those who remember our days in the Northeast, right? You remember those potholes? So that's that's snow and cold and okay. So the Gemara says nothing's changed in that regard. So if the roads are bad and we need another month to repair the roads, that's a consideration. And the same thing for the bridges as well. If the bridges are in disrepair and the bridges need time to be repaired, so once again, that's a consideration. And also the ovens were left outside back in the good old days, and the ovens at the end of the winter also needed repair, and this is again another consideration. deal. And let's say the Jewish people are making a move to go to Eretz Yisrael, but they haven't left yet. In other words, we're talking about the population who are living somewhat proximate to Yerushalayim and do plan on making Aliyah L'Regel, but they just haven't left yet. And again, the trip for them is going to be very difficult. So as a result of that, these are all considerations in which we're going to be a Ma'abir Shana. However, I'll tell you what is not a consideration. If it's snowing or if it's cold, we feel like the mailman right now. So for snow and cold, the Gemara says that is not enough of a consideration to me. And also for the population of the Jewish people who have no plans of making Aliyah L'Regel, they live so far away. So for them, this is not going to be a valid consideration in terms of being ma'abir the shana. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. In ma'abir the shana lo mimnei agedim v'lo mimnei atalaim v'lo mimnei hagozlo shlo pirchu. Another thing says the Braisa, which is not a consideration in terms of adding another month, is the size of the animals. Let's consider that as we are approaching Pesach time, so we're going to need sheep and or goats in order to offer the Karban Pesach. We also know the Torah tells us that it has to be Ben Shana. Ben Shana, do not get confused, as I often do. Ben Shana does not mean after they turn a year, but rather Ben Shana means within the first year. So the only animal that's a valid Karban Pesach is going to be an animal that's born this year. So sometime between birth and, you have to wait 8 days after birth, right? The Yom HaShmini V'Hala Yeretzeh. So from birth until its first year of life, then and only then it can be brought as a carbon. So what the Braisa says is don't take the following into consideration. Right now the goat, let's say, is 3 months old. It's really small. Not a lot of meat. You know what? Based in, if we were to add another month and delay Pesach, so the animal now is not going to be a 3 month old, it'll be a 4 month old. More animal, more meat. The Braisa says that's not a consideration. And a similar story with the birds as well. Now, the birds have nothing to do with Pesach, but as Rashi points out over here, that as we approaching Yontif, so women who have given birth who are obligated to bring a carbon, so they're going to bring a pair of birds. Some birds need to be over a year old. So again, you might have thought that based on, look, the birds are not yet old enough to be brought on the Mizbeach. Let's wait a month, and that'll solve that'll allow time for some of the birds to mature. Again, the Gemara says, the Braisa says that's not a consideration. These are not good enough reasons in order to add an additional month. That has obviously national ramifications. However, although these reasons in of themselves are not enough, but coupled with something else, they can be things to take into consideration. Kates of Rabbi Yanaom and Mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara gives an illustration of this point. So Rabbi Yannai says, in the name of Shimon Gamliel, Modin Anachnu L'chon DeGozlan Rechichan. So basically, this is a letter that was sent out explaining Bezdin's reason to add an additional month in the year. Our birds are very young, V'imrei De'arkin. And the sheep are also immature. V'zimnin Daviv Alamata, and the springtime has not yet arrived. V'shafart Milsa Ba'anpai, and it seems good in our eyes. V'osifas Al-Shasa Da Talsin Yuma. And so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to add this year 30 days. So you see that in the letter that was sent out, meaning the real reason why they were Ma'abrishanim because of Ovid, because it had to do with the springtime, and that it's too early in the year and we haven't arrived at the springtime yet. That's the real reason. But you also note that in the letter that we just read together, he mentioned about the animals being immature, the birds needing more time to develop. So again, it's an idea to that these are in of themselves not sufficient reasons in order to be ma'abir shana, but certainly things that can be taken into consideration. The Gemara just pointed out that they had an additional month, and that additional month was 30 days. Now let's take the following into consideration. A month, as we have spent yesterday discussing, can either be 29 days or 30 days. Rosh Chodesh is either going to be on day 30 or on day 31. When we add an additional month in the Ibriyar, so how many days is that month going to have? So what we just saw together in the letter that was written by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is that we're going to be adding another month of 30 days. Meisvei, the Gemara is challenging this because the Gemara is bothered by this idea that the additional month is de facto going to be 30 days. The Gemara says, Kama Iber Shana Shloshim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Chodesh. So that extra month is going to be how many days? The Tanakhama says it's always going to be 30 days. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says it's going to be Chodesh. Now Chodesh is a word that just simply means a month. Now, but if you contrast it with the Tanakhama, where the Tanakhama says 30 days, so it sounds like Chodesh over here means 29 days. In context, that's what it seems to mean. The problem, of course, is that we just read a letter from Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel who described that extra month being 30 days and not 29 days. It's what now we would call in Gemara a stira, a contradiction between one brisa and the next brisa. Amar Rapapa Ratzu Chodesh Ratzu Shloshim Yom. So the Gemara says, the Rapapa gives a very simple answer, and that is that there is it is not obligatory, it's simply optional, it's voluntary. Meaning, we're obviously going to add an extra month about every third year. In terms of how long that extra month is, that is an option. Meaning, as Basin sees it fit, sees a need and a fit, and again, we discussed this yesterday, meaning you have to take other things into consideration in terms of whether the month is going to be 29 days or 30 days. You have to take into consideration the Mishnah Erchin that says that we're only allowed to make so many months within one given year a full month, right? You can't max more than 8, you can't go less than 4. We also have to take into consideration the days of the week in which it falls on. There are a number of factors that Basin has to take into consideration, and the only thing that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel meant is just simply that when adding the extra month, you'll make the executive decision of whether it's going to be 29 days or 30 days. Tachazi ma'ika bein tikife kadmai la'anveza basrai. The Gemara just says, look, as long as we just had a moment now, let's contrast the earlier generations and the later generations. The Gemara does this often, where basically we look at like trends, so to say, almost like sociological trends. But here we're looking at the trends of the earlier generations. They were like a tougher group. Rabbi Gamliel was amongst the Nesim HaRishonim. He was a tougher group. And the later generations, which, by the way, is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, so we're not much later. But still, in other words, the Gemara is contrasting them. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Maisa Rabbi Gamliel Shayoshev Agav Mala Bahar Bais. Now, by the way, the fact that we know that Rabbi Gamliel was a little bit tougher, so we know that already. Meaning the Gemara in Brachos, right? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, meaning, if you don't know what I'm referencing, right, see the Gemara in Brachos over there. But Rabbi Gamliel was just a tougher personality. We knew that already. But the Gemara over here is contrasting it in our regard. So the Tanya, the Gemara here quotes the following Brisa. He was sitting on a higher step up in the Harabais. And Yochanan, who was the scribe, who was sitting in front of him. Vishalosh igros chatuchos. And there were three letters in front of him. Lefanav munachos, and they were placed in front of him. Amar lo, tol igrasa chada. So he says, take one of these letters. Vikasov. And he dictates, this is what we're going to write. La'achna b'nei Galila ilah, u'la'achna b'nei Galila tasa. So to our brothers up in the north, both in the upper north and the upper galley of the lower galley. Shom chon yazgei. So first of all, peace be upon you. Modin anachna l'chon de zman bir amata. So I'm first of all, notification that zman bir is coming up. What is zman bir? So again, a quick refresher, crash course in zman bir. So we know that there is a cycle in Eretz Yisrael in which we work with a 7-year cycle, 7th year of course being Shemitah. And of the 6 years in which we work the land, that's broken up into 2 units of 3, 3 and 3. After the 3rd year and after the 6th year, so we have to basically do a self-audit on all of our grain, in which we have to make sure that we do an assessment of how much grain came in, make sure that we gave off the truma, the Meiser, Meiser Isha, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, right? Meiser Sheni is going to be years 1 and 2. Meiser Ani is going to be in year 3. And we have to do basically a self-audit. And after we do the self-audit, so then we say, B'artis HaKadosh Ben Habayis, and then we make a declaration, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did everything like I was supposed to do. This is what's called Vidu and Meiser. So, the letter that was sent out by Rabbi Gamliel is basically a letter explain to everyone, beer is coming up. Precisely when is beer done? See, Rashi tells us it's done on Pesach time of the following year, which means that in the first 3 years of the cycle, the Pesach of the 4th year is when we're going to be doing beer. Rashi actually writes in the Rashi Divrei Maskil, the Zman Biur Amata, so Rashi says that it's done on Erev Pesach. The Rambam gives a slightly different time frame in which it's done. The Rambam talks about being done on Pesach itself. Okay, anyway. But that is beer. So, in letter number one, sent by Rami Gamliel. So he reminds the Jewish people, both in the upper and the lower Galilee, that Zman Beer is coming up. So, I'm back to the Gemara. And take off all the maestros that you've been holding until this point in time from where the olives were kept. And he continues to instruct the scribe to continue writing. He's still dictating. V'toli grasa chad, and now take your second letter. Uksov, and this is what he dictates. Lachna b'nei deroma. To our brothers down in the south. Shamach yaskan, shalom aleichem. Modin anach lachon dezman b'yuramata. Lafrushi ma'asra, me'umre shibala. And there, again, he knows who's harvesting what. Olives up in the north, and the grains down in the south. So his instructions were to, once again, do an audit on, people should be doing an audit on their own harvest. But to the south, he's talking about the grains. V'toli grasa chad, now up to the third letter that Rami Gamliel is dictating. Uksov lachna b'nei galvasa b'bavel. And the letter is out to those living out in the exile in Bavel. Ulachna d'bemada, and for those living up in Mead. Ulushar kol galvasa d'Yisrael, and to all people living in the diaspora. Shemchun yaskan la'olam. So peace should be upon you forever. Right, there is a contrast, by the way, for the way he extends Shalom Aleichem to the people in Eretz Yisrael and to the people in the diaspora. I'm sure there's something to that, but I'm not at liberty to say, just simply because I don't know. But anyway, Modin Anachnu Lachem, but again, in a letter of information, De Gozlai Rechichen, and once again, here we go, with considerations of why we're going to make an Ibriyur. So, the birds are young, the Imre De Adkin, and the sheep are really thin, and Zmin Daviv Alamata, and the springtime has not yet arrived. Shafra Milsa Anpe Uve Anpe Chaverai. And the matter seems good both in my eyes and in my colleagues' eyes as well. Vosifta al Shasa da Yomin Klasen. And we're gonna add another month. And so the Gemara says over here, it's basically the same letter that Rishon Gamliel wrote, but with one notable difference. And that is that when Rishon Gamliel wrote the letter, so he didn't talk about how he collaborated with his colleagues. He just simply said, I think it's good. He's a Nasi, meaning that it's his decision to make. But he didn't talk about discussing it amongst the colleagues. Meanwhile, when Rabbi Gamliel is sending out a letter, the quote-unquote, the tough Rabbi Gamliel, right, the hard-line Rabbi Gamliel, when he sent out the letter, he talked about how he discussed it with his colleagues, and we think. In other words, so the Gemara is just, it's like, the Gemara is just pointing to the irony. The tough Rabbi Gamliel, you know, he confers. He consults with his colleagues. Not that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel doesn't, but at least in letter, so Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel doesn't make any mention of it. But the Gemara points out, however, the Gemara notes the observation, but the Gemara kind of dismisses the observation with three very quick words. And that is Dilma Basa da Avruhu. The Gemara says, look, this may not be Rabbi Gamliel in his early days, in his really tough days, but this could be Rabbi Gamliel later in life. Remember, I referenced the Gemara in Brachos a couple minutes ago. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that after Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua had this big back and forth, they had a fight, a significant disagreement over which day should be Yom Kippur. Which day was Yom Kippur was the Gemara. Sorry, that was a different fight. That was a different Gemara. Whether or not Marv was a Rishus, right? That was the Gemara in Brachos. Anyway, so they had a major fight, and Rabbi Gamliel treated Rabbi Yehoshua, well, seemingly inappropriately. Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from his position. They had a search for a new Nasi. That in of itself was its own struggle. Eventually, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as the Nasi. But then they had, my favorite part of the story, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah turned to his wife before accepting the position and asked, what do you think? She said, don't take it. And he took it. And that part's not good. And what ended up happening is that after he took the position, then they felt bad of taking away from Rabbi Gamliel, and they basically reinstalled Rabbi Gamliel. And so it turned into kind of like a messy leadership situation where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were co-leaders, and the Gemara there had a description of Shabbos Shalmi, meaning that in terms of who got up there and gave the drasha, so they volleyed back and forth between the two of them. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara simply says that this may be Rebbe Gamliel. The Rebbe Gamliel we're looking at through these letters may be the Rebbe Gamliel after he was deposed, and he may have been humbled at that point in time. So the Gemara is just simply saying that you may not be looking at Rebbe Gamliel in his youthful and somewhat harder personality. Gemara continues now on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Hashoshet Dvarim Ma'abrim Es Hashana. There are three main considerations. Now, we already gave a brisa that gave considerations, but those considerations that we gave were somewhat pragmatic, having to do with infrastructure and roads and bridges. Here, the Gemara is going to be discussing agricultural considerations in terms of whether or not Beis Din is going to make the executive decision of adding an additional month. So there are three considerations made in this brisa. Let's go one by one. One, Aviv. Aviv over here does not mean springtime, but I know we describe Aviv as springtime, but more literally, and in this case, more correctly translated, it's talking about the ripening of the fruit. You look at Rashi over here. Now, I don't mean fruit, by the way. I really mean grain. In fact, the fruit we're going to come back to in just a second. But if you look at Rashi over here, Allah Aviv, im lo bishla hatvua ma'abrim. If let's say the wheat in the field and the barley in the field is not yet ripened, so then we're going to be adding an additional month. The Torah describes Pesach coming out in the Chodesh Aviv, the East of Mefarshim. Sorry, let's stop over there in Rashi. Rashi does offer another pshat, which he's not happy with. Let's stop over here in Rashi. That's one. Two. Peros ha'ilan. Now we're talking about the fruit in the trees. So the fruit in the trees, I'm looking at now at the next Rashi. I'm reading the next Rashi. Im tesacher bishulam yosem izman ha'atzeres ma'abrin. Now over here it takes a little bit of forecasting, because remember, we're doing this in Adar. Right? The deliberation and the decision is done in Adar. And so what we're really doing is we're forecasting now more than about 2 months ahead of us right now. Meaning we are now, Nisan, beginning of Sivan. Yeah, about 2.5 months ahead of us right now. And we're forecasting now how the fruit are going to be ripening in the early summer, meaning Shavuos. Shatzeres man havas bikurim, because we also know that with Shavuos also is the bringing of the bikurim. Dechzev of a yom habikurim. V'im lo yaviyim bevol l'regel tzorech l'tzorech l'alos pamacheres. Now, if you don't bring your bikurim when you come up to Yerushalayim for Shavuos, so then what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to take the pain and time to go up again in the summertime to bring your bikurim. Obviously, it would be more efficient and more beneficial if we could bring our bikurim up on Shavuos, which again now means that if the fruit on the trees are really, really immature, and we can basically forecast and see that the fruit are not going to ripen by Shavuos, so that, says the Braisa, is another consideration in terms of adding an additional month. And finally, ala tkufa. And the third thing mentioned in the Braisa in terms of a consideration, in terms of adding an additional month, is now the seasons. Now we're talking about the seasons. So again, the seasons are based on the solar year. We know that at 4 points in the solar year, we're hitting, two of those times we're hitting the equinox. The equinox is when? So your equator line and the track of the sun are basically going to be at even with one another. Okay, it is when, to the best of our ability, the day and the night are going to be equivalent in time. So there's a spring equinox and there's a fall equinox. So the Gemara says that's another consideration to take into account. Rashi writes Zman Ha'aviv. Rashi writes Vala Tkufa Bein Tkufas Tammuz. Now, in terms of Tkufa, so the Gemara describes them using lunar months, but don't get confused. Meaning we call the summer Tkufas Tammuz. Tkufas Tammuz just simply means that the summer usually comes out around Tammuz time. But really this is a solar event, it's not a lunar event. Even though it's called Tkufas Tammuz, Shemitas Kevin Vinshecha Shein Tkufas Tishrei Nofels Ad Avur Chag Ma'avrin, and we see that the summer's coming out very late, and obviously if the summer's coming out very late, that of course means that the fall's coming out very late as well. The fall's referred to as Tkufas Tishrei. So the fall's going to be coming out very late. The fall's going to come out after Sukkos. So the The nafkalan lekama mikra bein al tkufas tevish and imshach zmana atesvav benisan shabbat haomer dilah besoch tkufas tevish ma'avin leskosas hamodos kilekaman. So therefore, it's going to require us to basically push the yontifs, meaning both Pesach and Sukkos, later into the year, so that they coordinate better with the seasons themselves. We want Pesach to come out in the spring. We want Sukkos to come out during the fall. So therefore, if we need to push them forward into the year, so we're going to add another month. So in this price, so now we have three reasons that are given in terms of three significant considerations of why we're going to be adding another Adar. One having to do with the grain, or another one having to do with the fruit, and a third one having to do with Kufa, with the seasons. Al shnai mehem, back to the Gemara, we're continuing. Al shnai mehem ma'abrim, va'acha mehem ein ma'abrim. Now, to make a decision in terms of adding an additional month, so we need to hit two of these three reasons. Meaning these are all significant reasons, and if you hit two of these three, so then that is caused in order to add an additional month. Now, if it happens to be that the ripening of the grain is one of the two reasons, so then everyone's going to be happy. Why are people rejoicing over this? So Rashi points out that because, look, we know that as we approach Pesach, so all new grains are asur. This is called the Isser of Chadash. And we cannot eat these grains until we hit the second day of Pesach. Now, let's imagine that the grains are not yet ripened. So is the Isser of Chadash hurting us? Of course not. Meaning they're not even ripened yet. So as we're approaching Pesach, we're using the old grain, we're using last year's grain, and quite frankly, it doesn't bother us whatsoever. Because the grains in the field right now are currently yet unripened. So it's fine. And therefore, if you want to add another month, by all means, it makes us happy. However, if the grains in the field are ripened, but you have the other two considerations of the seasons and the fruit and the fruit on the trees, so now, are we going to add another month? Yeah, because we hit two out of the three. Are people going to be happy? No, people are not going to be happy. Because as far as the grains are concerned, the grains are ready. They're out in the field, they're ripe, the grains are ready. But still, because based on that, another month, so that's another month of the Isser Chadash, and we're going to have to be using last year's grain, even though the grains of this year are currently ready to be harvested, but we can't eat them because of the Isser Chadash. So the Gemara notes that if for two of the three reasons, if one of those two happens to be Aviv, we're happy. If, however, two of the three reasons are not Aviv, meaning it's Tkufa and Peros, so then the people are, we're going to add another month, but Not to the rejoicement of the people. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ala Tkufa. Now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel makes a very succinct statement, and he just simply says Ala Tkufa. What did he mean by that? That's the Gemara's next question. Ibailuhu Ala Tkufa Smechen Ala Tkufa Ma'abrin. Question, says the Gemara. Did he mean that if Tkufa is one of the reasons why we're going to be Ma'aber, so people are going to be happy? Why are people going to be happy? Rashi says that if the Tkufa comes out at the right time, which is that the beginning of the fall, Sukkos is planning on landing in the beginning of the fall, so people are going to be happy, and the year is going to be pushed off. Look at Rashi, right? Rashi divra maskli bailu shima tkufa nofels kitikun abitchilas tishrei. If the seasons are coming out correctly, vehema abrim mashana bishul dvar macherim, and yet they're pushing it off for other reasons. Vedochin esachag besochim osacholref. So what does that mean now? It means that really seasonally speaking, we're on schedule. But again, for the other considerations, we're adding another month. That means that now Sukkos is coming out further into the winter. People are not going to be happy about that. Rashi goes on to describe. So first of all, people are going to have to start walking back and forth to Yerushalayim on Sukkos during the rainy season. Obviously, this is a seasonal discussion. And so even though it's Sukkos, and hey, it's not supposed to rain on Sukkos, but the season is the season. And because we pushed it off, so therefore now Sukkos is coming out closer to the winter, closer to the rainy season. It's interesting, Rashi doesn't know, but I'd also like to add, and also we're supposed to be sitting out in the Sukkah, and it's going to be raining then as well. Okay, but anyway, either way. So if we are pushing it off because the season being one of those two reasons, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that's another cause for joy, because now Sukkos would be correctly put out in the fall time, and that's when we want it to land. If, however, the seasons is not one of the reasons, but Tvua and Peros are the two reasons why we're pushing it off, but seasonally we were fine, and now it's later in the season, and therefore Sukkos is coming out close to the winter, people are not going to be happy about that. That's one way to understand Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel. Oh, ala tkufa ma'abrin, or maybe no. Maybe what Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel meant the following, is that although we gave three different reasons of why we're going to be pushing off the Yomim Tovim of Pesach and Sukkos, and we said that it has to do with Tvuos, Peros, and Tkufa. What Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is Tkufa is a reason in of itself, meaning that yes, fruit are important, ripe fruit are important, and yes, ripe grains are important, but that reason in of itself is insufficient. You need two of the three. And maybe what Rav Shimon Gamliel means is that if, let's say, one of the reasons is Tkufa, I don't need a supporting reason. That in of itself would be reason enough, sufficient enough, in order so that we're going to have to push off the add an additional month so that the Yom Tovim of Pesach and Sukkot come out in the right season. Okay. Tanurab and Teku. And the Gemara leaves this question unresolved, meaning we don't know what the correct shot is in Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. Now we're going to take Eretz Yisrael, we're going to divide it into three provincial areas. The north, the south, and the Aver HaYarden. What we would describe as a Transjordan, we call modern day Jordan. It is the it's east side. So basically we got north side, south side, and east side, of course the west being the Yam. So Yehuda, I'm sorry, Ma'abrin Sashana, Yehuda Ve'Eber Yadim V'Galo. Ashtayim Mehem Ma'abrin Va'achas Mehem Ein Ma'abrin. Now, we talked about agricultural considerations. We talked about the grains ripening, and we talked about the fruit on the trees ripening as well. So, in this, we're going to even be even more specific. Now, by the way, Tkufa, as far as seasons are concerned, in other words, that has nothing to do with the geographic location. Seasons is astronomical. Obviously, it's going to be the same season from a solar standpoint for all three provinces at the same time. The equinox is the equinox. So over here, we're really just focusing on the agricultural considerations of the grain and the fruit. And to which now this Braisa teaches us the following. So, in terms of these agricultural considerations, we don't need 100% of Eretz Yisrael to be affected, but we do need two-thirds of Eretz Yisrael to be affected. So that means that whichever two-thirds it is, it doesn't matter. Here, by way of democracy, but only in this limited form, by way of democracy, if you have two-thirds of Eretz Yisrael being affected by wheat not being wheat and barley not ripening in the fields, or fruit not ripening on the tree, as long as two-thirds of Eretz Yisrael is affected, so then that's cause enough to be ma'aber Hashana. Now, if Yehuda happens to be one of those two provinces, that's a good thing. People are going to be happy. Shein Omer ba'elam Yehuda, because the carbon Omer primarily is brought from Yehuda. Remember, Yehuda is the south. Yerushalayim is in the south. And the carbon omer is brought from the grain, from the barley grain that's grown in Yehuda. Now Rashi points out over here, if there is no barley grain in Yehuda, so then we're going to go and export it. I don't really mean export meaning from outside of Eretz Yisrael, but ship it from a further area in Eretz Yisrael. But primarily what we would like is we would like the omer to be coming from the province of Yehuda, which is proximate to Yerushalayim, which actually Yerushalayim is in the province of Yehuda. Rashi points us to the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos says that the barley for the carbon omer has to be rach v'male. It has to be soft. It has to be big. It has to be moist. It has to be super fresh. Obviously, it's only going to come super fresh if it's coming from the province of Yehuda. Okay, anyway, so for these agricultural considerations, you need two-thirds of Eretz Yisrael. It could be either two-thirds, meaning it could be any combination of two of the three provinces. However, again, just a note says the Braisa that if Yehuda is one of those provinces, so then that's good. Because then that means that the Omer is coming from, is coming fresh from Yehuda. Rashi points out, by the way, I'll make this point even clearer. If, let's say, for example, the two provinces that are demanding Iber Yar is Avar Yardane and Galo. So what does that mean? That means that really right now the grain in Yehuda is good. It's ready to go. But two-thirds of Eretz Yisrael is not ready. So therefore, we're going to add another month. And that means now that by the time Pesach rolls around, the grain that's growing in Yehuda now is over-ripened and maybe even harvested already. So we'll have to farm out, so to say, in order to get the Omer from a different province, which we'll do, but we'd prefer it to come from Yehuda. Tanu Rabbana, we continue in the Gemara now. Ein ma'abin as Hashana ella b'Yehuda. In terms of geographically, where are we in order to be ma'abin the year? So we have to be in the province of Yehuda. And more specifically, as the Gemara is going to point out, really Yerushalayim. V'imri brua begalam u'baris. Now, bidi eved, if you do it up in the galo, so then it works. The Gemara quotes a dissenting viewpoint, which is that no, that ma'at le'ikuva, if you are ma'ab of the year in any other location other than Yehuda, it does not work. I'm Rabbi Yehuda.
Declaration?
Huh? We were talking about the declaration.
But the thing is, the Big Ten wasn't listening
to Shalom. It's not right. Correct. Right? Tosis makes that point right over here. Okay, there's the Gemara in Sanhedrin coming up later on that seems to give an indication that they were Ma'aber in other locations as well. Okay. Point very good. I'm Rav Yehuda Bered, Rav Shimon Ben Pazi. My time at the Chanan Yishona, what's the reason behind this position? I'm Rav Kol Sheikh, no, Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. So when you're doing Drisha, when you're doing an examination, so you have to go there. What's there? Kol Drisha Shadadar, Shlo Yu Ela B'Shechno Shamakam. It has to be in the place where there's Shechina, and that is Yerushalayim. Tana Rabbanein Ma'abim Asashana Ela B'Yom. In terms of when now during the day, right, we discussed the where do we do Iber Shana? Now we're discussing the when, it must be done during the daytime. The imi brua b'layla inu mu'uberes, and if you do it at night, it does not work. Ein mekashen as chodesh ela b'yom, im kishuva b'layla, sorry, what just happened? Sorry. Ein mekashen as chodesh ela b'yom, im kishuva b'layla inu mekudesh. And then the Braitha makes the same point regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done during the daytime. And if done at night, it's simply inconsequential. I'm Rabbi Abba Maikra, and again, where do we see this in the Pesukim? So the Gemara quotes to Apostle Kentelim, Tikuba chodesh shofar, but kesel yom chagenu. The pasuk says that we say this parak of Tehillim on yom chamishi. You're going to be blowing on the shofar bekesel yom chagenu. What does that mean? Ezu chag shachodesh miskasabo. Which yontif is the moon covered up? So have omer zev rosh hashan. Rosh hashan is the only yontif of the year where the moon is covered. In other words, it's the only yontif of the year that takes place in the beginning of the month. Sukkot takes place on the 15th. Pesach takes place on the 15th. Even Shavuos, although admittedly Rashi over here doesn't make a comment about Shavuos, but Shavuos takes place on the 6th, which is a week into the month where you're seeing half the moon.
Based on Pesach.
And I was thinking that when I was reading the Rashi, I was thinking the exact same thing, that Shavuos could be just viewed as like the conclusion of Pesach. Right. So the but Rosh Hashanah, though, is the yontif that comes down the first day of the month. Meaning, it's the same. It's one and the same thing. But that's when the moon is covered. So viksiv, and then read on in that parak in Tehillim, kichok Yisrael hu mishpah lelokei Yaakov. Ma mishpah yubayom, av kiddush achorosh bayom. So just like mishpah is done during the day, so kiddush is also done during the day as well. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein ma'abrim es hashana b'shnei ra'avon. So the only time that you can make a leap year is only if it's not a year of famine. If it's a year of famine, do not make a leap year. Why? Rashi says very succinctly on the top of the Amud. Because if it's a leap year, what does that mean? That food is really scarce. And remember that Isser Chadash. That Isser Chadash now, as we approach Nisan, it tells us that any grain that grew over the course of this year cannot be eaten, is Asur La'achila, until the second day of Pesach. If now Basin comes out and makes the decision and says, okay, Jewish people, we're going to be adding another Adar. So now that means that for an additional month, any grain that grew this year, it's a year of scarcity. There's not that much to begin with. But any grain that grew this year still cannot be eaten for another month. And that would create panic. And forget panic, meaning there's just simply a lack of food. So it is not a year to add an additional month. Tanya the Gemara quotes a Bryce, a Rebbe Omer v'ishba mibal shalisha. Now what this Bryce is going to do basically is going to make the same point that we just made, but look at a pasuk in Navi in Malachim, the fourth parak of Malachim Aleph. Look at a pasuk and basically decode the pasuk that basically arrives at this conclusion that it was a year of famine, and therefore as a result of the fact that it was your famine, so they didn't add another month. So the pasuk describes, this is by Elisha, the Navi Elisha, where someone was bringing bikurim and he brought lechem saorim, he brought barley bread. Barley bread is very strange, especially as bikurim, meaning it's barley bread. In other words, we normally want wheat bread. So the Gemara makes a number of observations. Now, the location of Baal Shalisha, don't ask me where it is geographically, but the location of Baal Shalisha is where fruit and produce normally ripen the quickest. And yet, only one grain has developed so far. Now you think it's wheat, but it's not. It's barley. The pasuk says it's barley. So far, from the place in Eretz Yisrael that is most fertile, we only have now just barley grain to show for it. Now maybe this was before the Omer, and so therefore we're not expected grains to mature and develop. No, it was after the Omer, because Elisha's instructions were, give it to the people and let them eat. Okay. The only way you can eat it is only if it's after Omer. So now what do you see? You see that the grain hasn't developed yet. We just learned earlier this morning that if grain isn't developed, that is a serious consideration in order so that we add another month. So what they should have done is they should have added another month, meaning they should have made an Ibru year. But they didn't. And the reason why he didn't is because it was a year of famine. And everybody need to go to the granary and to get whatever little food was there. So again, it's the same idea. It's just that we see it in the psukim themselves. Tana Rabbanan. Now, let's be clear. There's only one month that's going to get doubled for the Ibra month, and that's going to be Adar. And for reasons which I'll show you later on why that is. But it's only going to be Adar. So in other words, which month is going to get doubled in an Ibra year, it's only going to be Adar. We're talking now about making the decision and broadcasting the decision. When is that going to take place? So typically it was done as we're approaching the springtime, meaning it's done sometime during Adar. But how far back can the decision be made? That is what the Brisa now is discussing. Tana Rabbanan, in Ma'abed Shoshana lefnei Rosh Hashanah. So you don't do before Rosh Hashanah. Now mind you, Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. So that's 5 months before Adar. So you can't do it before Tishrei, meaning that Av and Elul, and certainly earlier than that as well, are months in which, even though we may know already, we can easily anticipate, let's say for example the season and the equinoxes, that's easy to anticipate whether or not Pesach and Sukkot are going to be falling in season or not falling in season. But still, in terms of broadcasting this information, it is only broadcast after Tishrei. So the Rosh Hashanah, the Imi Brua Einu Moberes. The Braitza says that if it's done before Tishrei, it does not work. Now, Rashi over here points out the reason why is because if it is broadcast before Tishrei, that's too far in advance and not everyone's going to remember. And when we get to Pesach, which will be more than 6 months later, so there'll be a lot of confusion. Was it this year that Basin made the declaration that we should be observing a second Adar? I don't remember, and that's too much confusion. So therefore, Tishrei is the earliest time where Basin can make the decision. However, if there is need and cause in which we already know early in the year, when I say year over here, I mean before Adar, meaning by Tishrei already, we have a really good idea that we're going to need to be Ma'abar Shana. And let's say that the Nasi is going away for a while, and we're not going to have him. But he's here right now in Tishrei, so in Tishrei we can make the decision and broadcast the decision. The only month that gets doubled, however, is going to be the Adar month. Why? Interestingly, the Gemara doesn't say, and interestingly also Rashi doesn't say. Tosfos, however, does give a reason, third Tosfos on the Amud. Tosfos, ein ma'abrin ela Adar, v'chol shar chadashim ein ma'abrin. We are not ma'abrin any other month, dichsiv. And it's based on, oddly enough, says Tosfos, a pasuk in Megillas Esther. He writes, L'chodesh ne'masar hu chodesh Adar. The Megillah describes Adar being the 12th month. V'i ma'abrim achas mishar chadashim la'av Adar she'masar. And consider, now, if we were to double any other month, that now means that Adar will not be the 12th month, Adar will be the 13th month. And there's this idea, and I can't dive any deeper into this, but there's this idea that Adar has to, by definition, be the 12th month, and so therefore, if we're going to double a month, it has to be Adar, meaning Adar Beis now will be the 13th month, but at least Adar Aleph was the 12th month. If we doubled any other month, Adar will then, by definition, only be the 13th month.
So if you double the month, you're not supposed to do that when there's a famine, right?
Yeah.
And yet, if there's a famine, when it has to be... you're going to be violating a Torah prohibition about having Pesach occur. So what happens?
What happens is that, in other words, yeah, but it's also a famine.
You have to violate
it. Yeah, okay. So the back to the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. I read that already. Sorry, Eini. Gemara says, "Is this true?" Val Shachu Lei LeRav. The following letter was sent to Rava. Okay, so here we go now. For a second time this morning, we're going to take out our decoder ring because this letter that is sent to Rava was heavily encrypted, and probably encryption because of the Romans. Just also a historical note, I mentioned a number of times already that the calendar has been fixed, right? That's a fact. And it's been fixed for some time now. Exactly when was the calendar fixed? So it was done sometime during the period of the Amoraim. Over here, a letter is being sent to Rava. Rava's living in the middle of the period of the Amoraim. And a letter sent to him about the fact that an additional month was added. So clearly what is demonstrated in our Gemara over here is that still at the time of Rava, they were making these decisions of adding an extra year as per Beis Din, using the quote-unquote the old-fashioned method of as per needed, right? Like all the Gemaras Nasi, that we learned.
Was there a Nasi at the time of Rava?
I will say yes, meaning I'll remind you that the Gemaras we learned earlier talked about the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael and the Reish Galusa and Bavel. So yeah, in other words, there was some form of Nasius. Okay, but as you already pointed out this morning, which is an excellent observation, like it wasn't in Yerushalayim, right? Rebbe wasn't living in Yerushalayim. So, okay, in other words, but it's a simple observation, it seems to be a correct observation, that still by Rava already, they were still adding an extra month as per the instruction of Beis Din. Here we go, here's the letter, and once again, take out the decoder ring. Zug ba mei rekes, a pair is coming from rekes. A pair of Talmidei Chachamim, says Rashi, rekes is code for Tveria. Right, see the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, where it spends a little bit of time discussing how rekes and Tveria are one and the same. V'tafsu nefsher, and they were taken by Nesher. Nesher over here, says Rashi, is a Persian army. Uvi Adam Dvarim Hanaseh Beloz, and they were holding in their hands things that were manufactured in Luz. Umayniu Tchelis, the Gemara kind of decodes this for us. The thing that was manufactured in Luz was Tchelis. Ubitzchus Arachmim Vitzchusam Yatzil, Bishalom. And somehow, even though they were captured by the Persians, but they were able to escape. The Amuse Yereche Nachshon, Bikshu Lekvonitziv. And a descendant of Nachshon, that's code for Shevet Yehuda, which means the Nasi. So a descendant from Shevet Nachshon wanted to establish a Nitziv. Nitziv is going to be code for an additional month. I'm sorry, Nitziv Echad. V'lo Nichem Adomi Halaz. But the Romans did not want us to add another month. Avabale Asufas Nesfu. However, the Talmidei Chachamim got together, the Dayanim got together. V'kavu lo Nitziv Echad B'yerech Shemeitz Bo'aron HaKohen. But knowing that the Romans would not allow us to do that, so therefore we had a special secretive meeting in which in the month that Aaron died, once again, take out the decoder ring, that's the month of Av. So in the month that Aaron died, so a decision was made to add an additional month. So, what did we just see together through this letter that was sent to Rava? Okay, a number of interesting historical and political points, but for our purposes right now, we're going to be focused on just one facet, and that was, when did they make the decision to be Ma'abar of the year? They did so in the month of Av. This goes directly against what we learned previously, which is that you can't make the decision prior to Tishrei. And Av already is 2 months earlier than Tishrei, and they made the decision back then. The Gemara's answer is very simple. It's one line. Chashuv v'mechashvei gulu lo maglu. The Gemara says very simply, they were only doing the calculation in the month of Av. But in terms of the decision and the broadcasting of that decision, that was done post-Tishrei. My mashma d'hai nitziv l'shan d'yarchahu. The nitziv, when we took out our decoder rings, so the word nitziv we translate as a month. How did we know to do that? So the Gemara goes on to explain. D'yikziv l'shlomo shnei masar nitzivim ha'kol Yisrael v'kikulos ha'melech v'es anashav chodesh b'shana. So the pasuk describing, basically it was kind of like sponsorship of the king's dinner. Right, this month's dinner is being sponsored by, and there were 12 people who sponsored it over the course of the year. So, Simple math. 12 people, 1 year. So that's 1 month per person. Uksiv and Uksiv Echad. I'm sorry. Okay, right, semicolon. So what do we see over here? That the word Nitziv is a reference to a month. And that's how, when Rava received this message, he knew that when they were talking about adding a Nitziv, it meant adding a month. Now there is another pasuk over there, Malachim, that describes one Nitziv. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, so the Gemara gives two explanations. One is that this one Nitziv is basically the supervisor. Right, there was one supervising person over all the year, but then in terms of the actual year itself and the sponsorship of the king's food, it was done one person per month. Or v'chanamar keneged chodesh Ibar, or you could just simply say that look, sometimes the year is going to be 13 months, and in the event that the year is 13 months, that so we're going to be adding another nitziv to be sponsoring that 13th month. Tana Rabbanan in ma'abrin sashana lamishan lachaverta. So the Bryce over here describes the following. Let's say we know this year is fine, but we know that next year needs to be neighbor year. Again, seasons, equinox, calculation. We know that next year is going to need to be a neighbor year. So the Braisa says, here's what you cannot do. You cannot say, look, we know that next year, we're forecasting next year is going to be a neighbor year, but you know what? Let's do it this year, even though this year doesn't need it. So the Braisa says, you can't do that. In other words, the Ibar year has to be applied to the year that it's needed, and I can't forecast ahead of time and apply it a year in advance. And you cannot be ma'abir 3 consecutive years. Now, just for a moment, let's consider being ma'abir 3 consecutive years. That's wild. That means that basically what's happening is that this year Pesach is going to fall out in April, next year May, next year June. In other words, and then the third year, so we're having Pesach in the middle of July. So in 3 consecutive years, we're not going to do it. Amar b'shem ha'maisa b'Rabbi Kiva shayach chavush b'veis asurim v'ibar shalosh shanim zu achar zu. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva was in prison. This was before his brutal torture and murder. So, and what they did is, while in jail, is that he seemingly added in a month 3 consecutive years. At least that's what the Brisa says. Amru lo mishamraya based in Yashu v'kavu achas bizmana. So the Gemara says, no. All Rabbi Akiva did, as Rashi explains, well, Rashi gives two pshat, I'm saying over the first pshat in Rashi, all Rabbi Akiva did is that he was the expert on these things. He was the most knowledgeable. He simply had the Chachamim coming into the jail with him and basically forecasting, this year needs to be a neighbor year, and that year, meaning not the next year, and that year needs a neighbor year. And so basically now in consultation with the expert on this matter, Rabbi Akiva, they basically predicted which years are going to need to be a neighbor year. But in terms of establishment, the establishment of those years are only going to be done in the year that it's needed. And the Brisa does not mean that Rabbi Akiva actually made 3 neighbor years in a row. Tana Rabbanan. In Ma'abran Sashan lo b'shvias v'lo b'motzei shvias. Don't make an Ibar year in the Shemitah year and in the post-Shemitah year. So, now in the Shemitah year itself, you get it. Meaning it's kind of obvious. Meaning this is a year that we can't work the land. And now you want to add another month in which you can't work the land? Thank you, but no thank you. Like, in other words, don't do that. And the post-Shemitah year also is an ill-advised time to do so. Because in the post-Shemitah year, we're growing grains after having not worked the land for a year. And the grains are only going to be coming in, right, this year. Adding another month is now going to mean that we're not going to be able to eat and enjoy the grains that we grew this year until another month after a year which we didn't work the land. So it's ill advised. So the most shvius emes regil ma'aber erishvius. A great year to be ma'aber would be the year prior to the Shemitah year. Sure. In other words, that's the year where we're harvesting the land and growing in anticipation that we're going to need grain for it this year, next year, and the year after that. So you want to add another month that year? That is another thing to take into consideration. Basically, by the way, you learn yesterday's Gemara and today's Gemara well and really well, you realize that in order to be a basin, in order to make these decisions of adding an extra year, there are a number of factors to take into account, and it takes brain power. It takes a lot of processing.
But if we have a 19-year fixed calendar and a 7-year fixed Shemitah cycle, then almost by definition...
In other words, because we fixed the calendar, not a lot of these rules, I don't want to overstate it. Some of these rules get blown out of the water. Right. So the Shabbat Rabbi Gamliel Hayama Amram Mamotzei Shvius. Now the Beis Rabbi Gamliel, right, and his Nesius, so they would, even though the Tanakhama felt it to be ill advised, he would actually make the Poshmita year into an Ibriger. So over Plukta Dani Tanai, the Tanya, the Gemara points out that this is subject to another Machlokas Tanai because we learned in another Brisa. Ein Mevi'in Yerek Mechutz Ha'aretz V'Rabbeinu Hitiru. Are we allowed to import from outside of Eretz Yisrael? It is a machlokas. Now, it's not a political machlokas, although it could, I'm sure it could be, but it is a halachic machlokas over here in the Brisa, as understood by the Gemara, in terms of whether or not importation is allowed or not allowed. Now, if you allow importation, so then making the poshmita year into an ibriyar is not the end of the world. Yes, there's a scarcity of food in Eretz Yisrael, but you're allowed to import, so therefore it'd be fine. If you are, however, however, pro-embargo, anti-importation, so then you do not want to make the poshmita year into an ibriyar because we're not importing. Okay, now, my benayu, the Gemara says, what's really at the heart of this machlokas of whether or not you should or should not be importing? The Gemara says as follows, because the fruit and the vegetables that we're importing are fine, but however, if Eretz Ha'amim, if the actual physical land of Chutz Ha'aretz comes into Eretz Yisrael, that has tumah. See Rashi over here who describes the tumah of Eretz Ha'amim, why there's a gzera tumah on Eretz Ha'amim, but if we import the fruit and vegetables in of itself, they're fine, but the land that comes in, which may come in with the importation as well, may come in as well, and that basically you're introducing tumah into Eretz Yisrael. One is of the opinion that where that is a concern, the other opinion that that's not a concern. Tanu Rabbanan, continuing now in the Gemara. Ein Rabban Sashan Memnea Tumah. A reason in which is not going to be taken into consideration is whether or not people are tame. For example, look at Rashi over here, Kigon. Shayanasi Cholav Amdu Lamos Erev Pesach. Now remember, by the way, that we're only going to be doubling Adar. Meaning, Rashi over here is really bothered by the following question. Okay, I'm formulating a question for Rashi. We're doubling up Adar. Let's say everybody's Tamei at the end of Adar. So what? You have 14 days between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Pesach. Why? Even if everyone's Tamei, it's rectifiable by Pesach. What's the concern? Just one second. Rashi basically goes on to explain, it still can be a very real concern. And now, with the question formulated, look at Rashi. Kigon. Shayanasi chola, v'amdu l'amos erev Pesach. So let's say that the Nasi is sick, and he's not dead yet, but unfortunately, doctors are giving a very bad prognostication, in which he's going to die sometime between now and Pesach. Oh, yamim kodem v'yutameim. Now, we can easily forecast that for Pesach this year, everyone's going to become tummy. Remember, a Nasi who attends a funeral? The answer is everybody. So now everyone's going to be attending the funeral. Everyone's going to be coming tummy. And again, based on the information we have now going into Nisan, we see that this is a year in which most everyone's going to be tummy. Osha yerubim tamei besof adar v'kalta efer hapar v'ena yicholim so achsha paraduma. Or Rashi gives another example where everyone's tummy in adar, but we are short. We are really significantly short on efer paraduma. So ein abrim v'kachal yasa b'tuma. So now, what are we thinking? We're thinking right now, let's add another Adar, so that by the time Pesach rolls around, all of us will have taken care of our tumah. The Brice is telling us, don't take that into consideration. Rather, what are we going to do? Offer the carbon Pesach in a state of tumah. If the majority of the Jewish people are tame, you're allowed to do that. Back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ma'aber. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're going to be Ma'aber. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ma'aser b'Chizkiah HaMelech Yehuda Shibres Hashan Mimnei HaTumah. B'Chizkiah HaMelech did in fact this. In that, he added another month in the year because of Tumah and Ubikesh Rachim HaMa'atzmo. And then he begged the Kadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Okay. Dichsev. Now the pasuk says, Ki Marbis Amar Abbas Me'afraim HaMenashe Yisachar V'Zvulan Lo Hitaharu. The pasuk tells us regarding Chizkiah HaMelech that a good segment of the Jewish population were not tahor, ki achlos ha-pesach below kakasuv. And And eating the carbon Pesach against the Torah, meaning in a state of tuma, and so therefore what he did, he extended the year, and then he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Okay. The obvious question, which we're going to address in just a little bit, if he felt what he did was right, so then why did he beg for forgiveness? We're going to come back to that point. So, Rabbi Shimon Omer imim neyatuma ibru amu uberes. So, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that if, for reasons of tuma, he extended the year another month, it's good. The reason why he begged for forgiveness is because he added another month after the calendar hit Nisan. And for that, he begged forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Mimeshi Hisi Yisrael La'asos Pesach Sheni. The Gemara gives another explanation, and that is that he advised the Jewish people to offer Pesach Sheni. Okay. There's a lot to cover and a lot to tackle within this brisa, a lot to explore. We'll pause over here right now. Okay, we did a lot of good work in today in terms of catching up. Tomorrow we'll pick up with exactly what Chizkiyahu did wrong, why he begged for forgiveness, whether or not Tuma is in fact a good consideration to be Ma'aber Shana. Okay, today was just a lot of information regarding Ibar Yarn and the many considerations that Beis Din has to do in order to add another month. And this was all during when they did so Alpi Beis Din. Obviously, with a fixed calendar, a lot of these Gemaras to us are, you know, Limud Lashma. They're but not Lamaisa.
No extra shear tomorrow.